Welcome to the podcast. I'm Greg. Sitting across from me is Jenny, and we are talking education stuff. So that means this is the Instructional Coaching Corner podcast. She's trying to make me laugh over there, too.
it's working a little bit.
It's distracted me. That was my intro while holding back a chuckle. Jenny, how are you today?
Well, I'm good.
Good, good.
Glad that we're starting out lighthearted.
Yeah, we're gonna jump right in this, Jenny.
Well, I know. That's why I tried to start lighthearted.
All right. Jenny, have you ever had conflict?
I sure have, Greg.
All right. Behind the scenes, Jenny and I always joke a little bit about my introductions to the topics, and some of them are pretty bad, like what you just heard there is just like, have you ever experienced this? Well, it's like, of course, everyone has.
You always ask the questions that I'm not sure how I'm supposed to answer, but yes,
like, is there more to it than that?
Yeah.
No.
Which this time I feel like there's going to be more to it.
Face value. No. So Jenny, we're talking about teams and some tips and tricks and strategies for effective teamwork. Last time we talked about how to build trust and how to do that through being vulnerable, and that vulnerability has to come before trust.
Yep.
And much of the content and the ideas we're taking from or talking about here come from the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team by Patrick Lencioni. And his second dysfunction is the fear of conflict.
This is a big one.
It is. This is like my favorite one, too.
Yeah. I feel like almost this is more uncomfortable than being vulnerable. This is hard for people.
Correct. This is one of the areas when I read the five dysfunctions, I'm like, I'm really going to push myself here.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing, Jenny, obviously, we talked about trust first because that's the first step. Like when we're talking about conflict throughout the rest of this podcast, we're not talking about like walking up to some random person on the street and just being like, hey, I want to start an argument with you.
Okay. This is those people that...
Because I know you do that, Jenny, so stop doing that.
Yeah,
that's not the
right?
conflict we're talking about.
Oh, so this is the people that we work with every day and we have relationships with.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I was listening to a sermon by a pastor, and he actually said that without conflict, can we really have love? So if you're unwilling to have conflict, can you truly love someone? And his argument was essentially like, if you love someone and you care about them and they're making choices that aren't best for them or doing things that might be reckless, are you willing to have this conflict for the best result for them in the long run? Maybe not at that time.
Sure.
So like
conversations that need to be had, because if you don't, something worse could happen.
Correct.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about conflict today, we're talking about good, healthy conflict between people who have a relationship with each other.
Because I think sometimes people, when they think of conflict, they think of it in the negative way, that when you have conflict with somebody that you can't come to an agreement, or that lots of times it's people thinking that they're right.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. So Jenny, before we go any further, let's take a minute and define a little bit of what healthy conflict is.
Okay.
Okay, so if we're having conflict and healthy conflict, it's going to revolve around ideas or like the best direction for the team.
Okay.
Okay. It's not fighting. It's not politics like we've talked about before. And something like healthy conflict does still have like that emotion, that passion, that frustration. And the whole goal of good, healthy conflict is to come up with the best plan for the team, whatever they might be working on. So I want to give you a few examples.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to step into story time with Greg. Okay. Sit next to the fire, maybe dim the lights, grab a blanket.
Here we go.
My wife, Christy.
Okay.
Who I love. So yes, we have a relationship. So this is someone I can have conflict with. Makes sense. About 2 months ago, she brought the idea of we should get another dog to the table. and immediately...
You love Gideon already. I mean, we should preface that, how much you love your first dog, Gideon.
So I do want to clear some stuff up, Jenny, because like, we're not like a family that... Like, I'm not going to go do special stuff just with my dog other than take him for a walk. But the dog does life with us at the same time because we're a pretty active family. So, like, we're outside with the kids, dog's there too. Go for a walk, we take the dog. We're eating dinner. Dog's trying to eat our dinner. You know, we do stuff. He's doing life with us. Okay, so she brings the idea of, hey, we should get another dog. Immediately, I said, no, that's crazy. She was over here. I want a dog. And I was over on the other side. No, I don't want to have a dog. And over the next, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks, she kept bringing up the idea, but not like, you should let us get a dog, but presenting like, here's why I think we should get a dog, and presenting the, like the argument, presenting her case on here's why we should do this as a family. And little by little, I got to a place where it's like, okay, I see what you're talking about. I see what you're seeing. I do think this could achieve some of the things that you're wanting to achieve through bringing a dog into our family. And eventually we got to the point where it's like, let's do this. Okay.
Okay.
If Christy wouldn't have been able to like walk into that conflict with me and say like, we're going to have these arguments, and it might look to like an outsider like, man, those people hate each other, but it's not. We're just like debating the merits of this idea of getting a dog. If she wouldn't have been willing to do that, where would that have left us? It would have left me.
She would have been angry and resentful because you were just a stern no.
Correct. And I would have been like, well, it's not a big deal. I didn't understand why she wanted that anyways. So if I don't understand, it's not a big deal to her either. And then that we're going to have issues. So that's one of the things too with conflict. Like if we're not willing to have conflict around issues such as getting a dog, eventually, like you just said, that conflict or lack of conflict is going to lead into like conflict between people, like negative conflict. If we wouldn't have had the discussion about the dog, Christy would have had negative thoughts about me because we didn't have the conversation. I would have returned negative thoughts to her because we were never willing to have this conversation.
It becomes personal versus the bigger picture of the why behind Christy wanting a dog.
Correct. Like we can argue about wanting a dog all day long, and there's nothing personal about that. But if we're not willing to have an argument about the dog, eventually it's going to become an argument about character and personality because, well, I wanted a dog and you said no. Why are you so mean? Where all our conversation was around the dog.
And thinking in terms of a team, you and Christy being a team, if you start to have that resentment and you start to have that anger and attack of the personal or character side of the person that you're working with or your team, that can cause for major problems, and that's hard to recover from.
Correct. I mean, you get into all sorts of issues there. I'm going to tell one more story then, because that was a story of how healthy conflict in personal life can work out, but also here at
school. So can I ask first?
Yes.
You're getting another dog.
Yep.
Do you have it yet?
He's coming on Wednesday. So as we record this is in 2 days from now.
Oh, my goodness.
So by the time this releases, we will have another dog.
And does he have a name? Is this another conflict story?
No.
Oh,
Rufus.
Okay. Rufus?
The kids picked the name.
Gideon and Rufus.
Rufus Doofus.
I love it.
All right. So here's an example at school. I was partnered with a group of teachers, and we were working on, and this is several years ago, we were working on a project. Through the course of our discussion and planning, the project that was coming out was a watered down version of what we had all had hoped for. No one was willing to kind of step back and say, guys, I think somewhere along the way we missed the mark, because what we're producing is very surface level compared to where we came in wanting this deep, enriching, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Enriching activity. If not, we're throwing it into the Greg's new words.
We're both looking at each other like, is it? Does that sound right?
It's like when I was trying to say accompanying.
Oh gosh, don't go back there.
So we were trying to work on this project. Our hope was to have a nice enriching activity where they could dive deep and really push their thinking, and kind of what we ended up coming up with was pretty fluffy. No one kind of stepped back and said, I don't think we should do this, or I think we need to fix something here. We took that and we ran with it, and it was just really not the most enjoyable thing in the world. I think back to that, and I think if I just would have said something, or someone at the table would have said, like, I'm going to push on this a little bit. And like, it's okay if we have some conflict around the discussion of the idea we're planning out here, as opposed to just saying yes and agreeing with every single thing thrown out there. We would have came up with a stronger product. Does that make sense, Jenny?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes you might have been thinking it, and somebody else sitting right next to you could have been thinking the same thing. But that fear of conflict or saying something that might go against what the team is thinking. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Let's say we're working as a team. It's in that scenario where we're not saying what we're thinking. We leave the meeting. What's something that can often happen? I mean, I'm sure you've been in a meeting where you left the meeting, maybe you got to your office, and then someone from the meeting shows up. Do they have something good to say, Jenny? Or are they just like, that was such a riveting meeting, Jenny. Thank you for facilitating it.
Not usually.
Yeah.
Usually it's a, hey, I really think we probably could have done this. Or did you really like this idea? All those sidebar conversations happen after the meeting.
It's back channel conversations, which can easily lead to gossip, where if we're willing to have that conflict within the meeting, it's going to be about the issue, not about the people.
And then the team works together
Correct.
To fix it.
Anytime we walk away from the meeting and we don't have, like, people didn't voice their opinion stuff, it's so easy to turn it personal, because now we're done talking about what we were planning on doing. Now all I can think of is, like, why did so-and-so throw that idea out there? That was dumb. So there's a few ways to overcome this, because this is really tricky. This is hard to do. It's uncomfortable. And I think as a society, we're kind of like, I'd like to get through life with as little conflict as possible.
Mm-hmm. And but what I think is important to say, though, too, is the more comfortable you are and the more you trust, the easier these conversations happen. And that took a while for me, because I agree. I do not like conflict, but I also know that if I'm still thinking about something, sometimes 24 hours after a situation happens, it's worth the conversation, even if it might cause a little bit of conflict and even if it might be a little bit uncomfortable. So I'm excited to hear some of these ideas, because I think this is probably something that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah. So the first one is really to model and encourage, like, people to, when we come to the table and we're discussing things, like if you and I are trying to plan something out, Jenny, if I throw something out there, I'm not having conflict to win. Conflict is to come up with the best solution. So if we're trying to think of, like, what's the next episode the podcast about, and I throw an idea out there, my goal is not to come, like, just to get my idea, but, like, one, to get your opinion on it and to see, like, do you agree if this is the next thing? If you do, we can move on. But if you're like, no, like, we need to have a conversation about it, because...
because it turns into you having all of the ideas, and I could, in a sense, resent you that you always have the ideas and feel like you are more in charge of the podcast.
Correct.
Which...
And think how powerful it would be for you to be, like, if I threw an idea out there and you're like, Greg, I just don't know about that. And I'm like, you know what, Jenny? Like, I've never seen it from that perspective. I totally agree with you. Let's not do this. I'm like, thank goodness you mentioned something, because we could have been in a train wreck there if we would have done, like, a Christmas special or something.
I will learn to have more conflict with you on podcast episodes when it comes to talking about spiders in a barn and a giant man-eating spider. How about that?
I will agree to that.
But okay.
There's just huge power when people see, like, if I throw out an idea, it's not so my idea can win. I'm not having conflict to win. I'm having conflict to find the best solution. If it's my idea, great. If it's not, great. As long as the kids are winning at the end of the day, that's what matters.
I love that you said that it's, especially in the world of education, it is about the kids, and it's about the kids winning at the end of the day, that whatever decisions we come up with, whatever conflict we have, as long as those decisions are for the best interest of the kids, that's what's most important. And I do think that it's ironic, because sometimes you do have the personalities that are on teams that sometimes feel like they want their opinion or their idea to be the idea or the solution. Being the person that's not afraid to have those crucial conversations or those tough conversations, in a way, you're coaching your team to show each other what's important to you. And that is keeping your why at your forefront and making sure that at the end of the day, the decisions that you're making are what's best for the kids.
Yep. Another way we can continue to overcome this is simply to acknowledge it. Name it and tell people it's okay to have a disagreement about this or to have conversation. Like Christy and I with the dog, we had weeks of disagreement, but even in that conversation, it wasn't for me to say like, no, I need a win by not getting a dog. I wanted her to, like, I needed to be convinced of that. I was willing to be convinced and to be persuaded to come up with that best idea.
I think when you said too, like owning it and naming it, there was a situation where I was in where there was that level of conflict. Something was said that was, it became more personal. And I owned that feeling for me that it became personal for me, but it was also something that I knew I couldn't move forward in working through a solution until I shared that feeling, or, you know, that how I felt about the where the direction of where the conversation was going. And when I did that, the other person didn't even realize how the comment or the conversation had kind of turned, like you said, from staying focused on the goal to maybe more of a like personal, this is what they wanted. And it kind of became an attack on a character. And once that happened, man, the feelings of, okay, that was not a good feeling, and it was not healthy for the working relationship or the working environment. And being able to name that and then moving forward was the solution ended up being way more productive because we owned it, we named it, we didn't let it get in the way of progress.
Yeah, we have to be willing to acknowledge, like,
and they're hard.
This is uncomfortable and I'm having this conversation, but like, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, this is needed. And then the last one, Jenny, so if we're in an IC meeting and there's 10 of us, is Greg Detmar the most vocal person in the group?
Do you want me to answer? See, this is that question where...
No, I'm serious.
No, you're really not.
No, I'm pretty quiet and reserved, unless I'm with like my little, like at school, I'm not as much because it's like a group of like three or four of us. But in bigger groups, I am. And that's where Pat talks about the next one is mining for conflict. It's simply like seeking it out. And that would be, so if I'm having a discussion with a group of teachers and we're trying to plan out a event or something, we want to like a celebration or something, and everyone's shared their opinion, but there's one person, maybe like myself, who's just sitting there quietly and just going along with things, like simply asking them like, Greg, what do you think of this? Or what are your thoughts here? To get them to share their opinion on what's being discussed. We don't want a bunch of people sitting around the table not engaging in the conversation because, I mean, and that's going to come up in our next episode, but they're not able to really commit to the ideas if they're not at least heard.
It's taking that ownership too.
Next one, Jenny. Next thing I want to kind of transition to. Sometimes with conflict or this idea of healthy conflict, or especially with like adults, finish the statement. Well, we'll just agree to...
Disagree.
Stupidest statement ever. Think of where does that leave you? Okay, let's jump back to the Greg and Christy dog issue. Christy says, I want a dog. I say no. She says, well, we're going to agree to disagree. Does that mean she's going to get the dog and I just need to live with it? Or if I say, well, we need to agree to disagree, does that mean we're not getting a dog and she needs to live with it? Like, it just leaves us in this weird place of like...
Limbo land.
Did nothing.
What are we doing? Yeah.
But so often we throw that out there and it just shuts the conversation down. One of the things I've been trying to push myself, like anytime I'm wanting to say, well, let's just agree to disagree, especially if it's something that matters and with someone I trust and someone I care about, that's probably actually a flag that we need to keep this conversation going. Because or else, where are we going to end up?
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, too, like you said, if you are one of those quiet bystanders in conversations when you might feel like there's that conflict, you know, like in that situation there, it makes the person not want to, you know, if Christy would have just, if you said that and that conversation stops, Christy doesn't continue to give you those reasons on why it's important to get another dog for your family. And I think sometimes when you shut down those conversations, you're missing out on the opportunity of the best solution ever. So for you guys, the best solution is getting Mr. Rufus.
For now. And we'll see. We'll talk more about that in the next episode. So Jenny, let's look at like what two teams would look like. If there's team A, who terrified of conflict, we avoid it at all costs. Team B, we're totally okay with having this dialogue, this conversation, even like a little bit of an argument around ideas, with the idea of we're looking for the best solution. And in a school, the best solution is what's best for kids. Okay, so that team A, think of the meetings. Okay, if you're afraid of conflict, meetings are going to be pretty boring, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be like, here's this. Okay, we agree. Let's do that. We already talked to it, leads to those behind the scene politics of someone showing up after the meeting and saying like, can you believe so-and-so said that? How stupid was that? Like, why would we move forward with that plan? That makes no sense. It also, think of the amount of important tasks or things that we ignore or are afraid to talk about because we fear conflict. So I'm like just curious, like in the course of human history, like how many times governments or schools or businesses have done bad things or like made choices that weren't the best, then didn't turn out the best, where someone at the table is like, we shouldn't do this. I'm guessing it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we miss an opportunity to talk about those important issues. People don't get to share their opinions, and we waste time playing politics a lot. So when I say playing politics, that's like the whole idea of like, here's the idea. And this is really what the school one example I gave earlier, where we had this thing we're working on and everyone had an opinion and we tried to make it work everyone's opinion. Like we were playing the politician where everyone's happy, and we came up with a product that none of us were happy with. It took mm-hmm. a lot of time. Would you want to work on that team?
I would not. No, thank you.
Okay. Now let's look
Tell me team B. I want to know the team that I'm going to join,
Greg. Let's look
at
the next team. I feel like this should be called the A team here, but so lively discussions, right?
Yes.
And part of that's because we're in debate, but we're also talking about things that matter. If we're willing to have conflict about it, it's probably something that matters. Okay, so if it's like, are we using a blue pen or a black pen? I don't want to have conflict about that. It doesn't matter. But if we're talking about what intervention should we do for this kid versus this kid, that's a worthy conversation of conflict. We get all ideas shared. We're going to solve problems. Get rid of those politics. And most importantly, we're going to be talking about the most important things, because it comes back to we're willing to have the conversations about the hard things.
That sounds like a great team to be a part of. Sounds like a team where every voice is heard. And I think when I think about our district too, one of the things that we say all the time is what we say and what we do matters. And I think this, talking about that type of a team, that you know, you want to be on the team that encourages participation from all, and having that healthy conflict to work through the most important things that we need to get through.
Correct, Jenny.
I'm on the A team.
All right.
Not the first one that you talked about.
And I think so much of this, it all comes back down to, I know, like I keep saying, like healthy conflict. I don't want people to think when they hear conflict, like just go out there and be crazy and start arguing with people. We're looking for the best solutions. We're having conflict around ideas, not people. And when we do that, our teams are going to flourish.
With that, it just sets the tone for the entire, you know, so think about that team that you're on. When you leave that team or that meeting, and the excitement that you have leaving that meeting and going out and spreading those words versus the, oh my gosh, you'll never guess what just happened in that meeting. And if we can flip that to have those positive things leaving those meetings going out to the staff, it gets them excited. And it's kind of that ripple effect of culture, positive culture building and moving throughout the building.
Jenny, now you're equipped. And I could talk about conflict all day. And as we record,
no, you couldn't.
Thanksgiving's in a few days. I could too.
No, you couldn't.
You're such a dork, Jenny. Such a mean friend.
Greg, can you tell me more about why you feel that way?
I have no feelings. I would encourage people
true
not...
True story. Don't, true story.
Don't go to like... Well, I don't know if we can have like Christmas gatherings and whatnot, but when we can have gatherings again, don't go to like a gathering looking for conflict. We're talking at work, with a loved one, with someone close to, not just for the sake of argument.
That's right.
Any other things on conflict, Jenny?
I don't think so.
You're so wrong. There's so much more
conflict.
I know.
There probably is.
There's so much conflict right now.
You can do a mini podcast on that one.
All right. Well, as Jenny and I go argue this one out, I want you to go check out our website, www.iccpodcast.com. There's a lot of past shows there. There's short shows. There's minicasts. There's social media links. You can find it all right there on our home on the web. So as we leave, ask yourself, what one thing can I do tomorrow that'll make me a better version of myself? And maybe it's diving into a little healthy conflict. Then do it. Because greatness isn't achieved by one event, but instead a series of small, intentional steps.
Go be awesome.